We're holding Yud Aleph Omud Bey's last few words. We started talking yesterday about the concept of about the various dinim involved when a person accepts on himself an individual tainus. And in that connection, we talked about the issue of tainus shoris. Is it possible to have a fast that only covers some hours? So we said, in fact, that Ma'ukva was asked that question and he didn't know the answer, and he was told in the Beis Medrash that yes, there is such a thing as a tainus shoris. So now let's talk more about that. Omer Chisa, Hoda Amrit Mis'anim L'shoris, this that we're saying that there's such a thing as a tainus shoris, is only Vahushal Tom Klum Ad Ha'erev, only if you didn't actually end up eating until the end of the day. Well, Ad Ha'erev means until the evening. Rashi has a different girsa, kol oisei hayom, which means the entire day. Which there are actually a few different understandings based on these two girsos among the Rishonim. Rashi explains like this. Let's say you have a tainus shoris would be, according to Rashi, where you started fasting until the middle of the day, and then what happened was you ended up fasting the whole rest of the day. So as the Gemara is going to explain in a second, he originally intended, as the Gemara is going to say in a second, what happened was that he didn't end up eating in the morning for some other reason. Mm-hmm. And then comes the middle of the day, he says, you know what, since already I didn't eat half of the day, then I may as well finish up and make today a fast day and not eat the rest of the day. So that would be Rashi's definition of tainus shoris. Now, you have this that we have instead ad ha'erev. The Rambam learns differently. He says that even if the person did eat in the morning, he could conceivably decide sometime in the middle of the day that he's going to fast the rest of the day until the evening, and that counts. Besides the Tosfos over here, there's also Tosfos in Avodah Zarah that discusses these things, because the sugya that we have over here about tainus shoris also appears in the Sechta Avodah Zarah. We said yesterday one of the questions that Ma'ukva was asked was about tankanim shel goyim, about shel nochrim, about wine barrels that were used by goyim for their yayin nesach. What are you allowed to do with them? And so therefore, so the Gemara brings that up in the Sechta Avodah Zarah, and therefore it brings up this matter of tainus shoris there also, the three questions together that he was asked. And Tosfos explains over there, now we said that the question is that Tosfos discusses over there, doesn't there need to be a Kabbalah beforehand, which we're going to discuss soon, when that Kabbalah has to take place? On the face of it, based on the Gemara that we're going to say soon, it has to take place during Mincha of the previous day. So how would it be possible that all of a sudden in the middle of the day he decides to fast? Now, according to the Rambam, for example, it's no problem. He says quite clearly that in a case like that, it's fine. As long as you did your Kabbalah sometime before the fast begins, then you're good. So in the Rambam scenario, let's say, you ended up eating in the morning, or it could happen that not. It could happen similar, the Rambam describes a scenario like Rashi's, where you didn't end up eating the first half of the day, not because you intended to fast, but just because you were busy, and then decided the second half of the day is going to be a fast. The Rambam learns you can do a Kabbalah then, and that's good. On the other hand, Tosfos over there says maybe not. So they talk about, let's say you could have a case where a person intended and did a Kabbalah the previous day that he's going to fast only the second half of the day, for example, and then he decided in the morning that you know what, he's going to do the first half as well, and a couple of other possibilities. So it comes out from all of that that it would mean, whether we say ad ha'erev or kol oisei hayom, it would come out that there's no such thing as a tainus shoris that ends in the middle of the day. With that said, though, Rishonim brings something from the Yerushalmi that says that there could be, that there is such a thing as a valid tainus shoris until the middle of the day as well. Now, you wouldn't necessarily say anenu for such a fast. You have a machlokes, you have a further machlokes within that. If a person fasts like that, is he going to say anenu if, let's say, he davens mincha before he breaks his fast, given that to begin with he wasn't intending to fast the whole day? That Amar actually says in that case that such a fast could be considered a valid fast, and maybe even you would say anenu, but only in the Shkilosh Menasrei, the Chazan would not say it in Chazoras Hashatz, even if you're davening mincha before you break the fast. Back a few decades ago, in the Lamed and Mems, every so often you would have the Rabbonim would the Rabbonim, I don't remember which group of Rabbonim it was, but anyway, would declare Tainus Shoyes on behalf of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, and because of Mir Yehudi and various other problems that were going on at that time, to ask Hashem to help with those things. Very often the Rebbe would say a sicha on those. For example, the sicha where the Rebbe first talked about the idea of bringing even the youngest children to the Aseres HaDibros was said on one of these tiniest shows on Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan 1 year. They were having one of these tiniest shows, and the Rebbe spoke a sicha then and talked about this idea of bringing even the little kids to shul. So nowadays, I don't know if in recent years, I haven't heard much of that. I don't remember when was the last time they declared one of these tiniest shows, but back when I was growing up, they were somewhat more common. Once or twice a year, they would be declaring them. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. According to the Girsa that Rashi has over here, that you're anyway not eating all day, so then Omalei Abayas. Abayas says, so what do you mean that's called a tiniest shows? Hot tiniest now, you see. Then that's a full-fledged tiniest. The fact is he didn't eat all day long. Of course, he can even say anenu. So what's the chiddush? And the answer is lo tzricha de imlach imluchi. And the answer is, again, like we said, we're talking about where he changed his mind. So according to Rashi, he never intended to fast that day. He was busy the first half of the day and therefore didn't end up eating. Now at some point he decides, in the middle of the day, he decides to himself, you know what? I didn't eat all day today anyway. I may as well fast the second half of the day. So that's considered a valid thing, and we can consider that a tiniest choice. Again, maybe not necessarily to the extent of saying Anenu, but to the extent that it would be considered a tiniest. Also, the Alter Rebbe, for example, mentions in Igeres HaTshuva, when he talks about fasting for various Averis, and he talks about the idea that a person has to fast a certain number of fasts and they can spread it over many years, etc. And he describes how sometimes you can fast a half day fast and it works. You're fasting only until Chatzos, but that works. Now that's based on that Yerushalmi. That would not be based on the Bavli that we have in front of us, because the fact is the Gemara is saying over here ad ho'erev, or according to Rashi's Gersa, kol ha'yom, and therefore according to the Bavli there would be no such thing as a fast only until Chatzos. But according to the Yerushalmi there would be, and the post can bring that. And again, according to the various other Rishonim, what imlach imluchi can mean, for example, according to the Rambam, it can mean even that he did eat at the beginning of the day, and now in the middle of the day he decides that from now on till the end of the day he's going to fast. So you have all those various possibilities. Then the Gemara says, "V'omer of Chista called Tainus Shleishaka all of Chama Lav Shmei Tainus, a fast where the sun did not set on it. In other words, he didn't fast until Shkia. Lav Shmei Tainus is not considered a Tainus." So again, now according to Rashi, that fits. According to Rashi and according to the Rambam, that fits very easily with what we said before. We said that we're talking about, for example, according to Rashi, he hadn't eaten the first half of the day, and now he decides, you know what? Since already I didn't eat anyway, let me fast until the evening. And we're saying that that's considered a valid tainus choice. According to the Rambam, we could be talking about even he did eat in the morning, and now he changes his mind and decides to fast the rest of the day. But either way, it would mean that he has to do it until the end of the day. If we say, like we said from the Yerushalmi, that you could fast only until Chatzos, and that's considered a valid fast, then evidently that wouldn't fit with our Gemara over here. So one possibility, of course, is that the Bavli and the Yerushalmi are in fact arguing, and this would be one of those cases where they pass them like the Yerushalmi. The other possibility is what the Gemara means is Lav Shmei Tainus only means, in the sense that you can't say Anenu on it, but you could, it still could be considered a valid fast in the sense that he did accomplish something as far as fasting and as far as that it helps for his kapara.
What would be exactly considered if he fasts part of the day and then he decides that he wants to take a fast for the rest of the day? Is the rest of the day going to be considered a fast, the initial part of the day, or both?
That's exactly Rashi's definition and the Rambam's definition of tainus shoreis. Precisely that he didn't eat the first half of the day because he was busy, he was working or whatever, and didn't get around to eating. Now, in the middle of the day, he decides for himself, you know what, I didn't eat all this time anyway, I may as well fast the second half of the day as well. Yep, that we're saying would be considered a valid fast. That is a tainus choice. The second half of the day definitely would be considered a tainus choice. You're asking if the first half of the day counts as well. I mean, it's a moot point. The first half is already gone.
It's already gone, but it could still.
Yeah, it could still what? It could still count? Okay. Yeah. According to the Rambam, it seems it doesn't make a difference whether he ate the first half of the day or whether or not. Either way, the afternoon is considered a valid tainus. In particular, we are going to talk soon in the Gemara about the point that you have to have kabbalah satainus. You have to accept the fast on yourself sometime before it begins. So the part that he fasted in the morning can't be considered that unless he actually, if he did a kabbalah the day before, then fine. But if he didn't, then the morning can't be considered a tainus in that sense because there was no kabbalah before it. Only so that Rambam explains that it's fine. He can do kabbalah. He can do kabbalah on that day itself sometime before the actual part that he's taking on himself of the fast begins. So in other words, let's say in the Rambam scenario, you can have, let's say he didn't end up eating till 12. He says to himself, you know what, it's almost 12 o'clock. I haven't eaten already. I may as well fast the rest of the day. Fine. Sometime before 12 o'clock, he says, Hareinu lefanecha b'tainus. And then from then on, that part is considered a tainus.
Is there such a thing as a retroactive kabbalah?
Not really, no. And again, Tosfos over there in Avodah Zarah says maybe not even that. Maybe you do need the kabbalah specifically on the day before, and therefore they construct a scenario, like we were saying, where the person did intend to fast, but only intended to begin with that he was going to fast from Chatzos and on, let's say, and now in the morning he decides you know what, I'll fast the first half of the day also. And that would be considered the finest. Kabbalah for the day before covers that as well. But we'll talk about Kabbalah. We'll talk about the details of the Kabbalah in the Gemara soon. So let's continue in the Gemara. So anyway, the point is, all Gemara is saying that if the sun didn't set, that if the sun didn't set while you're still fasting, then it's not considered a tainus. So the Gemara says Mesvi, and by the way, there's a nafkamina for that in terms of nowadays, if a person is traveling on a plane westward on a fast day, up to what point do they need to fast? Do we say they need to fast until Shkia or until Tseis in the location where they are now, or maybe can they follow Shkia or Tseis in the place where they came from? There's a good deal of discussion about that. So, Mesvi, the Gemara says, I have a contradiction. You're telling me that a fast that you didn't end, that you didn't fast until Shkia, is not considered a valid fast. But in the next paragraph we learn that when it comes to the fasts for rain or other things that Beis Din declares, Anshe Mishmar, the Koyanim who are of the Mishmar that serves that week in the Mishmikdash, Mis'anin V'loy Mashlimin. They fast, but they don't complete the fast. So we see there is such a thing as not completing a fast, and it still counts. And the answer is because that's not really a fast. That's just they're doing that in order to give themselves tzar. In other words, to join in with the tzar of the tzibur. As we learned yesterday, that it's an important thing to join together with the tzar of the tzibur. But it's not really considered a fast in the sense that they don't say anenu. And in the sense that if they have to break it for whatever reason, then they say earlier in the day, then they can do that. It's not really considered a full-fledged fast. The Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. The Amar of Eliezer ben Sadik, or really it's supposed to be Rabbi Loza Bereb Sadik, Ani Mibnei Bonav shall Sna'ov ben Binyamin. Sna'ov, really, it's supposed to be the hay. I am one of the descendants of Sna'ov from Shevet Binyamin. Now, Sna'ov was one of the families from Shevet Binyamin that came to build the second Beis Mikdash, and we're going to learn later on in the Masechta that early, at the beginning of the second Beis Mikdash, they had a problem. There was a shortage of wood for the Beis Mikdash. So various families stepped up and pledged that they were going to give wood to the Beis Mikdash. And that became every year, the day when they did it to begin with, became a Yom Tov for the family. And every year they would bring wood to the Beis Mikdash on that day and they would celebrate it as a Yom Tov. So Snaz came out on Yud Av. So, one time Tisha B'Av, this is after the Churban, came out on Shabbos, Udchinu L'Achar Shabbos, so we pushed it off till after Shabbos, because of course, you don't fast on Shabbos. We fasted on that day, on Yud Av, but we didn't complete the fast, my family, because it's all Yom Tov because of the Korban Ha'etzim, which, by the way, shows that they were still keeping that date even after the Korban. Tosfos asks isn't that related to the matter of Megillas Tainis? The days of Korban Ha'etzim are like the Yom Tovim and Megillas Tainis, and we learned in Rosh Hashanah that there was a machlokes whether Megillas Tainis is still in effect nowadays. He's still not allowed to fast on those days or not. So Tosfos says, okay, well, you have an opinion there that says that it's not bottle, those days are still in effect. Rebbe Tzadok held like that. So we see that they didn't complete the fast. They didn't fast all the way until the end of the day. And so you see, it's on the face of it, it was still considered a fast. And again, also, again, the answer would be that they're doing it only in order to be the tzair themselves, to join in with the tzair of the tzibur, but not because it was actually considered a fast day for them. Okay, so no proof from either of those cases that we could say that a fast that ends sometime before Shkia could be considered a valid fast. The Gemara says, Toshma, I'll have to bring another proof. We find that Rabbi Yochanan sometimes would say, I'm going to be fasting until I get home. And if he gets home before Shkia, then it means he's going to be able to break his fast. And we still call it a fast. The answer is, that's not really a fast. What happened was, the household of the Nasi would want to invite Rabbi Yochanan to eat by them. He didn't want to have to bother. He didn't want the tircha. So he would say that he's going to be fasting. But really, he's not fasting. Really, he's just using that as an excuse to get out of them. So if he wanted, he really could eat right there. It's not really considered that he made a neder to fast. And certainly he wouldn't be saying aneinu for it. So the Gemara stays with what it is, that a tainus, in order to be considered a tainus, has to go until Shkia, and if you break it before that, it's not really considered a tainus. Again, we said you were shown and bring from the Yerushalmi that says differently, and there is such a thing as a valid tainus until the middle of the day. At least in the sense that the person can't just break it in the middle of the day. Unless we'll talk about on Omid Beis, sometimes a person can, when there's a bar mitzvah or whatever, we'll get to that point again later. Next, another din. Omar Shmuel, kol tainis shlekibul olam ba'od yom lav shmei tainis. A tainis that a person did not accept on himself the day before is not considered a valid tainis. So again, not a valid tainis might be in the sense that you don't say aneinu, and it can also mean that maybe it's not considered a tainis in the sense that fine, he said he's going to fast, so he has to keep his word. But if he needs to break it for whatever reason, then he can do that. But you have to accept it the day before, we're saying. So the E Yosef Mai, so the Gemara asks, what if a person does fast without such a Kabbalah the day before? Mai, so then what is it considered? Omar Rav Bashila, Domi Lamapucha de Malya Zika. Then he's just like a bellow, he's like a bag full of wind. In other words, he's empty for no good reason. He's not really accomplishing anything. He's not really accomplishing anything by it. Okay, Amos Makabale, when do you have to accept the tainus? So Rav Omer B'Mincha, Rav says it has to be sometime during the time of Mincha, sometime from, the Mephoshim say, from Mincha G'dola and on, so it doesn't have to be Dafka during davening, even if he's walking down the street, he can make a declaration, tomorrow I'm going to be fasting, and it's considered that now he was Makabal, the tainus, and now it's considered a full-fledged tainus, and he's able to say Aneinu and so forth. Shmuel says it has to be specifically during the tefillah of Mincha. So where is that? So you have different possibilities that the post can bring. Does it mean that you should say it in Elikainitzer, or does it mean that better you should really be saying it in Shemei Atfilah? So actually the Ramah says what you should do is Vachatchila, you should say it in Shemei Atfilah. If you forgot to say it there, then you can say it in Elikainitzer. And if the fast is that you're planning to fast on Sunday and you're doing the Kabbalah on Shabbos, and of course on Shabbos you're not davening the Baruch Shmakaleinu, then to begin with you say it in Elikainitzer. But without that, in other words, we're saying it's not really considered a full-fledged fast. One major place, I guess, where this is Negea nowadays is a fast that a Chos and Kala do on the day of their wedding. This is a private fast which a person has to accept on themselves. So then they have to accept it on themselves in Mincha in the day before. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Kavasei de Shmuel, and there's a nusach that it says in Shulchan Aruch to say, that you should say, Ribono Shel Olam, I'm going to be fasting before you tomorrow, a Tainus Yachid, we're going to learn on Amud Beis, it's important to mention the detail that you're going to fast a Tainus Yachid, otherwise, as the Gemara is going to tell us on Amud Beis, you might be bound by the restrictions of a Tainus Tzibur, and you continue, Yerotzen, that my tefillah should be accepted on the day of my fast. Okay. So we have Rav and Shmuel. Again, Rav saying that can be any time during the afternoon, whether you're davening or not, and Shmuel saying that it has to be davka during mincha. Amar Rav Yosef, kavasei de Shmuel mistabra. So Rav Yosef says it's more logical to follow Shmuel's position that a davka has to be during tefillas mincha. Dichtiv in Megillas Tainis, because in Megillas Tainis, after it lists all of those days that the Chachamim had said during the second day of Mikdash that you're not allowed to fast on such and such days because of good things that happen to the Jewish people at various times during the time of the second day of Mikdash, the Megillas Tainis finishes. Lahain, however, kol inish to yesi alohi mikadmas na, any person that there comes on him, meaning that he has an obligation that he took on himself to fast, mikadmas na, before this, yesar, will be osur. So, my love, yeser atme deploy. So what does it mean, yeser? What does that phrase, yeser, mean, says Rabbi Yosef? The pashtus, it means yeser atme deploy. It means he's going to make himself osur in that. If, in other words, the Megillas Tainus would be saying, if he makes himself osur by davening, by saying this paragraph in davening in mincha the day before, then he's gonna remain osur to eat that day. In other words, then Megillas Tainus is telling us, even though this is a day when the Chachamim said not to fast, but because he previously had accepted on himself that he's going to fast, so let's say, for example, Rashi says, we're not talking about, that, in other words, that he accepted that, let's say, for example, he knows that tomorrow is a Yom Tov of Megillas Tainus and he accepted the Tainus on himself. What we mean is, let's say, for example, a person accepted on himself, I'm going to fast a series, let's say, of 10 fasts. He decides he's going to fast, let's say, every Monday, Thursday for the next few weeks. One of those days ends up coming out on a day which is a Yom Tov of Megillas Tainus. So Yeser Atzmai, on the face of it, means because he accepted it on himself in Mincha, then therefore he's obligated to fast. But if he hadn't accepted it in Mincha, then he wouldn't be, then the Yom Tov of Megillas Tainus would override his Kabbalah, and then he's just gonna have to fast a different day instead to make up his Neder. So that shows, in other words, if we understand it that way, then it means that the Braisa is telling us that without that Kabbalah in Mincha, it's not considered a fast. And the answer is loy. The Gemara says not necessarily. Is that what it means? It could be. The word is not yaser atzmai, that he has to make himself osir with davening. Or Rashi says b'tzloy can have two meanings. It can mean davening and it can mean a neder. Although he says ve'ein rebbe moide, my rebbe doesn't agree that that's a valid explanation. Anyway, so the other possibility is it's yaser atzmai. Maybe instead the word is not yaser with a yud, but rather yaser, meaning, in other words, he's osur to eat on these days regardless. So, in other words, the Braisa would be saying, the Megillas Tainus would be saying, it doesn't matter whether he accepted it in Mincha or not, just the fact that he had previously said that he's going to fast on these days, even without a formal Kabbalah, nevertheless, that overrides Megillas Tainus, and therefore he would have to fast on that day, even though it's a Yom Tov of Megillas Tainus. So not necessarily can we show from that it means that he actually has to do a Kabbalah in Mincha. So not necessarily is Rabbi Yosef's proof from there of Shmuel's opinion, is it necessarily valid? Tosfos learns the yesar and yosur, meaning almost the other way around. Tosfos says that yosur would mean that he's also to eat. Yesar would be meloshin yosur, that he goes away from the neder. In other words, that he's not bound by the neder. He's going to be able to eat. He's going to be able to eat the next day. In other words, that he's not going to fast. So again, depending on those two gersois, does that mean that he has to accept the fast on himself beforehand or not? We can't really be clear because it depends on the gersa. And in fact, the Gemara says, "Pligi bahar Rav Chiya v'Rav Shimon b'Rabbi." Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon b'Rabbi argued on exactly that point. They had different versions of Megillas Tainus. Rashi mentions, by the way, that Megillas Tainus is we actually introduced the phrase with the word dichtiv, because usually dichtiv is used for a positive, but this was actually the only thing that was allowed to be written at that time other than Tanakh. This was, Megillas Tainus was composed shortly before the Churban Bayis Sheni. And again, it lists all these various days when good things happen to the Jewish people throughout the second Beis Mikdash. which the Chachamim declare that those are happy days when you're not allowed to fast, and some of them you're also not allowed to make a tzfeidim. But that was the only thing, that was the only part of Torah Shavah Peh at that point that was allowed to be written down for people to read publicly. So therefore, we call it Megillas Tainis, and therefore that's why the Gemara introduces it with the word Dichtiv like it would for a Pasuk, because it was allowed to be written down. As the rest of Torah Shavah Peh at that time, people could write themselves private notes, but they weren't allowed to use them for teaching publicly. Anyway, so now Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon Bar Devi have different versions of what it said in Megillas Tainis. Chad Amar Yesar v'Chad Amar Ye'osar. One says the word Yesar, meaning that he has to accept it on himself in davening. Or v'Chad Amar Ye'osar, the other one says he's also to eat regardless. So Manda Amar Yesar k'dam minin. So the version that says Yesar is, like we said, that if he accepts it on himself in mincha, then it's a valid fast, and if not, then not. Lamanda Amar Ye'osar Maihi, what do we mean when we say that if he, that he's osir? What exactly is the Braisa, what exactly is the point that the Braisa is telling us? And, so that's actually you have, there are Rishonim, the Ritzvah, and others that learn that, that what the Gemara is saying is that, either way, you have to, the Gemara is saying that, you have to accept on yourself the fast. And so the question is, so in that case, what's the chiddush? That if you didn't accept it, it's not a fast. According to Rashi, the question is more, not so much what's the chiddush, but rather, what is the scenario where the person is in fact usur to fast on that day? Because Megillas Tainis versus where, what's the scenario where his Kabbalah overrides the Tainis? If we say ye usur, which means that he doesn't necessarily have to accept it in Mincha. So Maihi, so what would that be? So the Tanya, but Megillas Tainis. So, we have further detail that it says on this in Megillas Tainis. Again, it says, Kol inish diyaisi aloi mekadmas tina, any person who there comes on him a fast from before this, ye oser. So now we're talking according to the Girsa in Megillas Tainis, ye oser, that he's also to eat regardless of whether he did the Kabbalah or not. So my ketzad, so what does that mean? Yochid shekibol al sheni v'chamishi v'sheni shokol ashanakola. Suppose a person had accepted on himself that he's going to fast Mondays and Thursdays throughout the entire year. The Irubam Yom Tov Maksum Megillas Tainis. And then one time, one of the Yom Tov Megillas Tainis comes out on a Monday or Thursday. So then, it depends. Im Nidroi Kodim L'Gzera Senu. If his Neder came before our Gzera. Now, what we mean is, in other words, let's say, for example, to take an example, we learned in Masechta Rosh Hashanah about one of those Yom Tov and Megillas Tainis, we said was the 28th of Adar. So we said there was the Romans were planning a shmad against the Jewish people, and they protested at night, and they were vassal the Gzeira, and therefore it became a Yom Tov. Now, so in other words, there's a certain point in history when the Chachamim declared that day, from now on, Chav Ches Adar is going to be a Yom Tov, and you can't fast on it. So now what happens, in other words, so if the person's commitment to fast came before that event happened in history, so that's in other words, Nidre Kodim L'Gzeraseinu, his Neder came before our Gzera, Yevatel Nidre L'Gzeraseinu, then his Neder overrides our Gzera, so even though everybody else is not supposed to be fasting on Chav Ches Adar after that, but he already accepted from the beginning of the year that he's going to fast every Monday and Thursday, and it came out that Chav Ches Adar was on a Thursday, nevertheless, he has to fast. The im gzera senu kodemus the nidrei, but if our gzera came before his neder, so in other words, after Chav Ches Adar was already established as a Yom Tov, he decided at some point that he's going to fast every Monday and Thursday, and one of them comes out on that, tivato gzera senu es nidrei, then our gzera, not to fast that day, overrides his neder. So in other words, Rashi says, it doesn't, now obviously it's not a chiddush that if he does that, in other words, in a future year, if he starts, in other words, the point is, even let's say, for example, so let's say you had this event that happened on Chav Ches Adar. Let's say, for example, now the Chachamim thought it over. It took them, let's say, some time to decide, you know what, we should make Chav Ches Adar a Yom Tov. Let's say, for example, they decided that the following Elul. Then Tishrei, he decides that he's going to start fasting every Monday and Thursday, and one of them comes out Chav Ches Adar. So you would say, yeah, but it started long before. But nevertheless, since his Kabbalah took place only after the Chachamim declared that in the future this is going to be a Yom Tov, then therefore he has to suspend his fast and not fast on that day because of Megillas Tainis. Again, nowadays that Megillas Tainis is not in effect, then this doesn't apply. Although Tosfos points out, it still does apply regarding Rosh Chodesh and Hanukkah and Purim, because regarding those, Hanukkah and Purim are listed in the Megillas Tainus, and we learned in Rosh Hashanah that those are still in effect as far as you can't fast on them. Rosh Chodesh also is actually Doraisa. So therefore, so a person who accepts on himself that he's going to fast every Monday and Thursday, he can't on Hanukkah or Purim or Rosh Chodesh. Tosfos also, now Rashi also mentions the point, if we say that he doesn't fast because there was a Yom Tov of Megillas Tainus, Rashi learned that he wouldn't even have to make up the fast on another day. Tosfos, the Re in Tosfos, says he's not sure. Maybe you should be Machmir, that's fine. He's not going to fast that day because it's a Yom Tov, but he's going to fast the next available day. Okay, in any case, the point is, according to the Girsa, Ye Osir, we can understand that the Chiddush of the Braisa is that even if we're saying that it doesn't require a Kabbalah beforehand, nevertheless, there can still be a time when, the point is that the Braisa is saying, even there's times when his fast is gonna have to take place on that day regardless, and times not. It depends which came first, the Takona of the Chachamim to make that day a Yom Tov, or his commitment to fast. Okay, so we didn't really prove Shmuel's point one way or the other. Most of the Rishonim Paskim, like Shmuel, that say that you do need a Kabbalah in Tfilas Mincha, and without it, it's not considered a full-fledged fast. Again, according to when we talked before about Tainus Shoyis, there is the point. If a person is going to be fasting Tainus Shoyis, then the Kabbalah can be sometime before that begins. So again, the scenario that Rashi and the Rambam said, where the person is decided in the middle of the day that he's going to fast the rest of the day, whether according to Rashi he hadn't eaten at all during that day, or according to the Rambam even if he did, then he would do the Kabbalah sometime before that, and that would be that one. Okay. Onward. Tana Rabbanan. When a person is fasting, ad masa eichel v'shoyse, up to what point can a person eat and drink? Ad shiyala omer ha-shachar divrei Rebbe. So the Rebbe says, until alois ha-shachar. In other words, we're talking about a person accepts on himself a tainus yachid, and the same thing, of course, applies to most of the Tanias Tzibur, including Shivasa B'Tamuz and Asara B'Tavis and that whole group, except for Tisha B'Av, of course, and also the fasts that we mentioned in our Mishnah, the ones that the Yechidim fast beginning from Shivasa B'Macheshvin, if there's no rain, and the ones that the Tzibur, the first three that the Tzibur fast after Rosh Chodesh Kislev. So you're allowed by any of them to eat till Alois HaShachar, Divrei Rebbe. Rabbi Eliezer Bar Shimon, I mean, really, it's Rabbi Lazar Bar Shimon, says, Ad Kreis HaGever, until the rooster crows. You have, by the way, in this connection, there's the interesting discussion. Let's say, for example, with Shiva Asma Tammuz, do we say, given that you're allowed to eat until Alois HaShachar, does that mean that the night does not belong to the fast at all? Or does it mean it belongs, but on the other hand, you're still allowed to eat during it? The nafkamina of it would be, let's say, for example, beginning Shiva Asma Tammuz, you don't have weddings. So would you be allowed to have a wedding on the night going into Shavuot Tammuz? If we say it's considered part of the fast already, and just the Chachamim gave you a break and said you're allowed to eat, then you wouldn't be allowed to have a wedding then either. If you say that the fast only begins the following morning, and the night is not considered part of the fast at all, then you wouldn't. Rav Moshe has a tshuva on this. He says that in a pinch, b'shasat chach, you could do that. You could have a wedding on the night going into Shavuot Tammuz and rely on the opinions that say, I think the Baal Amor, that says that the fast really only begins at all the following morning, and the night doesn't even really belong to the fast. Okay. Anyway, so we're saying that you can eat till Alois HaShachar, or according to Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, until the rooster crows. Amar Abaya, lo shanu ela shalei gamar sodasei. Now that applies only if the person didn't finish his meal. But if he finished his meal, even though the fast hasn't begun yet, even though it's before Alois HaShachar, then he can't eat anymore. However, Esvei Rava, but Rava says, what do you mean? We learn in a Braisa, Gomar V'Omad, if he finished his meal and stood up from the table, Hareza Oichel, he's still able to eat afterwards. The answer is Hasan Kshalai Silik. The answer is, what the Braisa means over there is, where he didn't yet take away the table. So just because in those times they had these little tray tables in front of every person, and when you were actually finished the meal, you would take away that tabletop. So until you do that, it's not considered that you really ended your meal. But if you actually took away the table, then we would be saying that then you can't eat anymore unless you made a t'nai beforehand. Ikadamri, now another version is, it doesn't depend on whether you got up from the table. The second version is Amar Rava, Loishanu Elak Shalo Yoshin. That applies only where he didn't go to sleep. But if he went to sleep after he finished eating, then he can't eat anymore even if he wakes up before Alois HaShachar. But Abaya says, what do you mean? Abaya says, Yoshen v'omer hareza oichel, even if he fell asleep and then got up before Alois HaShachar, he's still able to eat. And the answer is Hosam v'misnam. That's talking about where he was drowsing, but he wasn't really completely asleep. So the Gemara says, Heichi domi misnamnim. What exactly is the definition of misnamnim? Amar Rav Ashi, nim v'loy nim, tir v'loy tir. Means he's asleep, but not completely asleep. He's awake, but not completely awake. Meaning, zekoru leiva oni, if they call out his name, he's still going to respond. V'loy yoda ahduri svara, but if you ask him something that he has to think about, he's not going to be able to do it, because he's half asleep. V'chi madkir le midkir, but if they remind him of something, then he'll remember it. So for you have this Gemara at the end of Pesachim, the Rashbam gives an example over there. If, let's say, for example, a person in this state of half asleep, of drowsing, if they ask him, for example, where is such and such, he's not going to remember. But if they ask him, is this item in such and such a place, then he'll be able to say, yes, it is. So in other words, he still has some of his wits about him. Tosfos discusses over here why the double expression, nim v'lo nim, tir v'lo tir, First, he brings from his Rebbe that nim v'loy nim means when he first wakes up, he's asleep but not fully asleep. Tir v'loy tir would be when he's going to sleep, but Tosfos says it doesn't really fit with all Gemara over here. So it just means, in other words, that he's not completely asleep, but he's not completely awake either. So in other words, the point is, if he does that, so now if a person eats on the night before fast, and then he's only drowsing, and then he wakes up, then he's still allowed to eat even without a snack. But if he actually fell asleep, then he's not allowed to eat when he wakes up, even though it's before Alois HaShachar, unless he made a snack ahead of time. There's the Rishonim discussed the question, what about would he be allowed to drink? There are more paskins in Shulchan Aruch that drinking you're allowed to even without a snack. So practically speaking, this is why we always have before the Dalet Tzomis, we always have we tell people that if you're going to go to sleep, if you when you're eating by night, when you're going to go to sleep, make a tnai that if you wake up before Alois HaShachar, you'll be able to eat again. Otherwise, without that tnai, based on Ogamar over here, you wouldn't be allowed to. You have a further machlok, the Saposkim, does this apply also to the fact that you have to start the night before, Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur? Would the same thing apply after the Sodom of Sekis? Would you, if you finish your Sodom of Sekis sometime before the fast begins, would you be allowed to eat? If you went to sleep at that point, would you be allowed to eat when you wake up without a tnai? Better to make the tnai in that case as well. Okay. Further dinim about tanaisim. Omer of kahana omer rab, yochid shekibel of tainis. If an individual accepts on himself a tainis, and he didn't specify whether it was a tainis yochid or whether he's taking it with the details of a tainis giver, also been ill with a sandal, so he's also to wear leather shoes and the various other things of fast. Chayshin and Shematainis Sibur Kibalolov. Because we have to be concerned, maybe he intended to accept on himself a fast that has the stringencies of a Tainis Sibur. So Heichiv Levit, so what should he do to avoid that situation? When he's doing this Kabbalah Satinus, let him clearly say that tomorrow I'm going to be fasting a Tainis Yochid. And that way he's still allowed to wear leather shoes, he's still allowed to wash, etc., etc., and the only thing is he's not going to eat. The Rishonim discussed the question, what about if he didn't say that, if he's accepting on himself, if he's possibly accepting on himself a Tainis Sibur, would that mean even that he might have to stop eating before Shkia? Or I think the Ramban says that no, we're not going to go that far. We're going to say that during the daytime he would be bound by the rules of a Tainis Sibur if he didn't specify, but would still say he'd be able to eat by night. Okay. More on this topic about wearing shoes on a fast day. So the Chachamim in the Yeshiva said to Rav Sheshes, don't we see that there are some of the Chachamim who wear their shoes, their leather shoes, and they come to the Yeshiva on a day of a Tainis? So we see, in other words, that on a Tainis Dibur. Now, those Chachamim hold, now we learned before, and we're going to learn soon in the Gemara, that Shmuel holds Ein Tainis Tibur B'Bavel. We talked about this yesterday, that Shmuel holds there's no, whenever a Tainis Tibur is declared in Bavel, it never has the stringency, the full stringency of a Tainis Tibur, except for Tisha B'Av. So therefore, that means they'd be allowed to wear shoes. So those chachamim who are doing that, were doing that. Some of the other chachamim said to Rav Sheshet, is that right? Ikbad, so Rav Sheshet was upset with them. V'omar lohu, when he says to those chachamim, as far as those ones who are wearing shoes, Dilma Mechel Nami Ocho, what are they Purish Medachet Tzibur? Are they staying away from what the Tzibur is doing? Maybe they ate also. So in other words, Rav Sheshet, Rashi says, Rav Sheshet disagrees with Shmuel and says that there can be something of the full stringency of a Tainus Tzibur and Bavel. Therefore, Rav Sheshet says that on a Tainus Tzibur, at least on some Tainus Tzibur, you have to not wear shoes. And therefore, he's criticizing these Chachamim that did wear shoes to come to the Yeshiva on a fast day, to join in the Tefillahs. The Gemara Sari says different than Rashi. He says, come on, I mean, what is Rav Sheshet going to think that these Chachamim are Purish Medachet Tzibur? He's saying that maybe they ate by night. Maybe they're mistakenly thinking that you're allowed to eat by night. They're thinking that it only has the din of a Tainus Yochid, where you can eat by night. But really, Rav Sheshet is saying it has the full din of a Tainus Tzibur, and they're not allowed to be eating by night either. Okay, the Gemara continues on that. Abaya v'Rava ma'ayli ki misaymi apanta. Abaya and Rava, both of them, when they came to the yeshiva on a fast day to join in the tefillahs, they would be wearing apanta. So what are apanta? Rashi translates it with a French word that means basically light shoes, so like the shoes that don't have a top part, an upper. Tosfos says the other way around. It means shoes that don't have sole. So the shoe only has the top part and not the sole. Rabbi Gershom explains a little bit similarly. That means a kind of thing where you wear a shoe where you only have the top part of the shoe, but usually you have a wooden sole on the bottom and the shoe doesn't have that. But they're wearing the part that has the leather. So Abaya and Rava would wear these apanta in order to avoid the issue. And Maremo and Mazutra machlefi di yamina lo smala or the smala li yamina. Maremo and Mazutra would wear their regular shoes on a tainus, but they would flip around. They'd wear the right shoe on the left foot and vice versa. In other words, in token of that maybe you're not supposed to wear shoes on those days. And in fact, in Shulchan Aruch it brings that if a person for whatever reason has to wear leather shoes on Yom Kippur or on Tisha B'Av, they should at least do that, change around which shoe is on which foot. And the Gemara continues, Rabbanan Devarav Ashi Nafi Ki Yochayu. The Chachamim of the Yeshiva of Rav Ashi didn't do any of those. They didn't dafka wear a panta on a tiny tzibur. They didn't flip around the shoes right and left. They wore their shoes normally. Savri Ki Hodor Amashmol Ein Tiny Tzibur Bavel Ela Tisha B'Av Bilvad. They held, like what we learned yesterday, that Shmuel says that in Bavel there's no such thing that has the full rules of a tiny tzibur, only Tisha B'Av. And Yom Kippur, of course, but Yom Kippur is Daraisa. So there's no real need to mention that, although the Rosh does have that Gusa over here. Anyway, the Halacha is like Shmuel, so therefore in Bavel or in anywhere in Chutzlaritz, even if they declare a Tainus Tzibur, you never have where you should have to take off your shoes and do other such things. You just treat it like the other facts, like Shivas of the Tammuz and Asar of the Tevis and the rest of them, and you don't have to take off, you don't have to avoid wearing shoes and so forth. Although I think the Bach says that maybe a Baal Nefesh on those fasts should be careful, at least as far as Rechitza and Sicha. Okay. Another topic about fast. Omer of Yehuda Amar Rav, Loiva Odom Tan Nisir Pareya. A person can borrow his tainus from one day and pay it back on a different day. So in other words, a person accepted on himself that he's going to fast. So now, he has a reason that he needs to break his fast. So now he can do that. He can eat on that day and instead that he's going to fast on a different day. So the Gemara continues, Ki amrita kamei de Shmuel. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying, when I told this din over to Shmuel, Omali, so he says, v'chineder kabel alei. So what's the chidush? Did he accept on himself a neder that he's going to, that he's going to adapt to fast that day? Dolei sagi dolei mashlam. That he would have to fast. That he would have to complete the fast day. After all he accepted on himself was to make himself a tsar. So if he's able to, then he needs to be mitzar himself. And if he can't, he can't. So in other words, according to that explanation, Shmuel in effect is saying, what's the chiddush of what Rav said? On the other hand, Tosfos says that the that Tosfos discusses that the that Shmuel is a so there's a question: is Shmuel actually arguing with Rav? Is he asking what the chiddush of Rav is? Anyway, so according to Shmuel, you might say, in other words, that when he's able to be mitzayir himself, he does have to finish the fast day. If he can't, then fine. I agree that he could pay it back on a different day. Ikadamni, another version of how it went, was Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav Loiva Adam Tanisir Pareya. Again, it starts out the same way. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rav that a person can borrow his tainus from one day and pay it back on another day. And according to the second version, Ki Amrita Kamei Deshmuel, Rabbi Yehuda says, when I said this over to Shmuel, Amalei Pshite, he says, of course, Lo Yehei El Neder. Of course, it's just like any other neder. Neder Milei Bati, Milei Boi Mati, Milei Mati Boi L'Shalumi Omeza L'Macher, or Yema Akrina. After all, a neder is, he could always do it a different time. The same way, for example, a person says a neder, I'm going to give a dollar to Tzedakah. He doesn't have to give the particular dollar that he gave. He could even, let's say, have that he designated a particular dollar, but later on he could exchange it and use that dollar and give a different one instead. So the same way, according to this version, Shmuel is saying, what's the chiddush? Of course, he could do it a different day. Rishonim explained, for example, the Rambam, that what we're talking about is where he made the neder, that in general he's going to fast a certain number of fasts. So then he can be loivo perea. But on the other hand, if he makes a neder, I'm going to fast on a specific day, then not necessarily. Because then he actually set a specific day. Okay, now what are reasons? So we mentioned so far in the Gemara that if he has tsar, in other words, he can't finish the fast because he's feeling too weak. Based on the next piece of Gemara, we're also going to say that also, and Tosfos discusses over here that it can be, for example, other Rishonim talk about that there can be also, for example, for a Sudas Mitzvah, the Rambam mentions this, for example, for a Sudas Mitzvah, or because an important Talmid Chacham invited you to eat with him, and it would be disrespectful to tell him no. So those are valid reasons to be loivo pereya, to say that instead of fasting today, I'm going to break my fast now and fast a different day because of these reasons, because of tzar, because of a sodas mitzvah or whatever. What Tosfos discusses is, what about, for example, if a person accepted on himself if he's going to fast, he fasted already a good part of the day. Now would he be able to be loivo perea? Would we say, for example, now at that point, even after he began the fast, he can already be loivo perea, or is it maybe only before he began the fast? So the Gemara tells Rav Yeshua Breder of Idi one time visited Rav Asi's house. Avdalei Egla Tilsa, they made for him an Egla Tilsa, which is very high quality meat, in various places in Shas. Rashi explains that an Egla Tilsa can mean an animal that's reached one third of its growth, which is then the meat is top quality, or it can mean an animal that was born third from its mother, where there the mother is at her peak strength, and therefore the baby is the best quality. Whatever the case, it was very good quality meat. Avdalei Litze Mamidi, so they said to him, Rebbe, eat something. He said to them, I can't, I'm fasting today. So they ask him, why don't you borrow the fast and pay it back a different day? Don't you agree with what we just said in the name of Rab that you can do that? And we see from this, now it's not a matter of that he can't because he's feeling unwell. We see that they're asking him too because it's a sudas mitzvah or because it's a meal with a talmid chacham. And therefore we see that would be a valid reason to be loivo pereya, amalahu, but he says this is a special case. Tainus cholam. This fast that I'm fasting today is a tainus cholam. He had a bad dream the night before, and now he's fasting in order to break the effect of that dream. Va'amar Rav ba'machseya, Amar Rav Chama ba'guria Amar Rav. Yopa tainus lachaloyim ke'esh l'na'oras. A fast is good to take away the effects of a bad dream. Like fire is effective on flax combings. Na'odas is like the little pieces, the short fibers and the pieces of stalk and whatever that you comb out of flax. Those are very, very flammable. So therefore, and in other words, so fire will catch on to them quickly. The same way, in other words, Maharsha says in Shabbos, this Gemara is also in Shabbos, Maharsha says over there that it means, in other words, if the bad in the dream will easily get burnt away by the effect of the fast. And Va'omer Rav Chisda Uboy Bayoyim, Rav Chisda says only if the fast takes place on the day after the dream. And by the way, this is one of those cases, this is one of those rare cases where you don't need Kabbalah, because obviously he didn't know by Mincha the day before that he's going to have a disturbing dream. So this is one of those cases where fast is effective even without Kabbalah. Va'omer Rav Yosef, Afilo B'Shabbos, Rav Yosef says, that means even if he had the dream Friday night, even then he should fast the Tainus Cholam on Shabbos, because we're saying the fast has such a good effect on being mevatel, the effect of the dream. However, the Gemara says, my takante, how should he fix that up? After all, he's not supposed to fast on Shabbos. So now, like, in a way, he violated Shabbos. What he should do is fast another day in order to compensate for the fact that he was over on Oynig Shabbos and didn't eat on it. So in Shulchan Aruch it says, I mean, it depends. I mean, nowadays, in general, many Rishonim even say you don't fast the Tainus Cholam anymore, because we're not really so expert to be able to tell which dreams are bad ones, which dreams are good ones. It does mention that there's Yesh Omrim, that there are certain kinds of dreams, where a person should fast even nowadays. One of them being, for example, a person saw in a dream that a Sefer Torah fell down, and there's a couple of others that it mentions. So then maybe a person should fast the Tainus Cholam even nowadays. But in general, we don't do that, and certainly not on Shabbos. But in principle, if a person is going to fast the Tainus Cholam, we're saying that it can be even on Shabbos. So therefore, so Rabbi Yeshua Breidit of Idi is saying, in this particular case, I can't borrow my fast and pay it back on another day, because the whole point is that the fast for Tainus Cholam has to be the day after the disturbing dream. But had it been some other kind of fast, let's say, for example, just for Truva or whatever, then yes, the fact that they're offering him this Egla Tilsa and the fact that they're inviting him to a meal would have been a valid reason for him to break his fast and then pay it back on a different day. Okay. The Mishnah says, Avru Elu V'Lanyanu. So we said, we had the three fasts that the Yechidim are fasting when there's no rain, after the 17th of Cheshvan. We had the first three fasts that Beis Din has, the Tzibur fast, beginning from Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Avru Elu V'Lanyanu. If these fasts passed and they still haven't been answered by Hashem with rain, so the Tosfos Yom Tov explains, in other words, they're not going to start right after the previous series. They're going to wait a little bit, see if rain comes. If they still see it's not coming, based in Gozun, Dimotanius Acheres ala Tzibur, then based in will declare another series of three fasts on the Tzibur. These ones are more stringent than the previous one. Ochlin v'shoshin v'odyoim, they can only eat and drink during the previous day. In other words, they have to start fasting at Shkia, like Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. V'asurin v'malacha over the chitz over sicha or an ilasasan over tashmish amicha. They're also to do malacha. They're also to bathe and anoint and wear leather shoes and tashmish. So just like Yom Kippur. And they close up the bathhouses, because if you're not allowed to bathe, then there's no reason for the bathhouses to be open, so they close them as like a public show of that this is a serious Tainus Tzibur. Next, continues the Mishnah, if those fasts passed, that so far we're up to three fasts that the Yechidim fasted, and six that the Tzibur has fasted, and still they haven't been answered with rain, based in Gozer and Alein Oid Sheva, that based in makes another a series of seven fasts on the Tzibur, Shen Yud Gimel Taniyas ala Tzibur, altogether totaling 13 fasts that the Tzibur has to fast. Now, why do we have to mention? We ourselves can add up 3 and 3 and 7 equals 13. We're gonna talk about that in the Gemara in a couple of days from now, Beis Hashem. So altogether 13. Harei Olu Yisferes ala Rishonis. Now, these last seven fasts are more stringent than the other one. Now, in what way? We already had the middle three fasts already from the evening before, and they're already also berchitza and so forth. So how are the seven more serious? First of all, on those seven, they blow shofar to ask Hashem to have rachmonis on them. And second of all, the noilin, the sachanuyas, they also close up the stores. Nobody should have their businesses open. However, Basheni Matin Im Chashecha, on the Monday, so again, the fasts are Mondays and Thursdays. The seventh fast would be Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Monday. So on each of those Mondays, Matin Im Chashecha, they can open up the doors of the stores a little bit when it gets close to dark. Because, in other words, people have to go buy food for it to break the fast with. So therefore, the Chachamim will allow that places that are selling food are allowed to open their doors and sell, are allowed to open their doors a little bit in order for people to go and shop to, for food to break the fast. As far as the fast on Thursday, though, that's different. Mutonim, if Nekvay to Shabbos, stores that sell food are allowed to stay open, are allowed to stay completely open the whole day, recovered Shabbos, because people have to shop for Shabbos. We'll learn in the Gemara on your Dalit over days, we're going to talk about certain details with this. Does it mean, when we say poskim, does it mean they're allowed to stay open all day, or does it mean maybe only part of the day? We'll discuss that on your Dalit over days, Bez Hashem. Rashi explains over there that the reason why on Monday only Matin is because during the day you don't want the stores open because people are going to have tire from it. They're going to pass by, they're going to see a store full of food, and it's going to make them feel even worse because they're fasting. But towards the end of the day, you allow them to open the stores a little bit because people need to buy food to break the fast. Continues the Mishnah. If all 13 of those fasts have passed and the people still haven't been answered and rain still hasn't fallen, then at that point, the Beis Din is not going to be gozer any more tanias on the tzibur, but mematzen memaso humatzen, people reduce the amount of business that they're doing, or bebinyan or benetzia, and they're building and they're planting, which we're going to eventually explain in the Gemara, that means specific kinds of building and planting that are mishum simcha, the erusin or benisurin, they don't do erusin, which is kiddushin, or weddings, over she'elas shalom and adam lachaveri, they also, people don't greet each other with shalom. In general, they act, they act like people who have been rejected, so to speak, by Hashem, because in other words, the fact that they haven't been answered by Hashem with rain after all this time shows that Hashem is extremely angry with them, and therefore they should act in that way, like people almost, nezufin is almost like a degree of chayrim, like as if they were put in chayrim, and therefore they have to act appropriately. Continues the Mishnah. Yechidim, chozer nemes ananat sheyetzin nisim. Yechidim, again, we said before, the Talmud HaChachamim, continue fasting privately until Nisan is over. So even though at this point the Tzibur is not fasting anymore, because Beis Din is not going to be gozer more than 13 tanias on the Tzibur, but the Yechidim continue fasting every Monday and Thursday until the end of Nisan or until rain falls. Yotzim Nisan, the Rambam, by the way, explains, when we say Nisan over here, we don't mean Nisan on the Jewish calendar, we mean the equivalent of Nisan on the secular calendar, meaning the first month after Tekufas Nisan. So whenever the Tekufa is, a month after that, it's considered the end of solar Nisan, and that's when they stop fasting. Because Yotzim Nisan, the Yoduk Shomim, because if Nisan passes and only then rain falls, Simen Klala, then that rain is a Simen Klala, Shenema, Aloik Tzirchit B'Yom V'Goyim, as you have where Shmuel says to the people when he gathered them all together, in that Torah, Parshas Torah, he gathers them all together at the end of his, near the end of his life, when he's handing over the leadership to Shaul, and he tells them that Hashem is very upset with you that you asked for a king in the first place. Didn't you realize Hashem is your king? And now I'm going to show you that today is a day of the harvest, and yet I'm going to ask Hashem that it should be rainy, and you're going to see how upset Hashem is with you. So we see that during the harvest season, which is after the end of Nisan, then if it rains in Eretz Yisrael, then in Eretz Yisrael and other countries like that, then it's a bad thing. So therefore, even the Yechidim don't bother fasting anymore. So the Gemara asks, all of these things that we're saying that you're not allowed to do on the last 10 fasts, we said melacha, rechitza, sicha, ne'ilas asando, and tashmash emita. So b'shleima kulu isbu tainu. I understand that most of those involve tainu, rechitza, sicha, tashmash emita. Ava melacha, and ne'ilas asando also, fine. Ava melacha tsarhu, but isn't doing melacha tsar, why are we saying that people are not allowed to do melacha on those last 10 fasts? Because Omakra, the fact that you don't do malacha has nothing to do with tzar, there's a different reason. A pasuk says in Yoel, where the Navi is telling them what to do because of the famine and the plague of locusts that's coming. We talked about that plague of locusts from Yoel's times previously on Dapay. So now we're talking about an earlier stage of it, when the plague was yet to come. When it had come and the people are being told by the Navi to fast and do tshuva. So the Navi says, Kadshu Tzayim, declare a fast day, Kiru Atzara, declare an Atzara, which literally means a stoppage, Isfu Zkenim, and gather together the Zkenim to daven to Hashem. So what it means is Atzara means Ka'atzeres, means that a fast day has to be like Atzeres, like Shavuot, which means Atzeres. Ma'atzeres, Ma'atzeres, also Ba'asiyas Malacha, just like on those Yom Tovim, you're not allowed to work. Aptinus, also Asiyas Malacha, the same way on fast days, on certain fast days, you're not allowed to work. So then, which fast days? Pashtus, we're talking about the ones, not the original ones, which are very minor fast days, but rather these later major ones that begin with Oidion. That's what Gemara asks. E ma atzeres me urta aptinus nami me urta. Well, in that case, atzeres, shvuas, and shmini atzeres begin the day before. Maybe that means that all Taniyas Tzibur have to begin the day before. No. No, because Omakro is uskenim. On the other hand, the pasuk says, gather together the skenim. Therefore, dumya dasif askenim. So we see that a fast day, that a tiny sibber, is similar to a day, is similar to the gathering of skenim. When the chachamim gathered together to judge dinei Torah. Ma asif askenim by yom. And when did they gather together for that? Only by day. The beis din only sits. By day, and by night, Rashi says everybody is at home, nobody's gathering together. The same way that Tzoyim only takes place by day. So the Gemara says, so maybe that means then that they only gather together in the afternoon from Chatzoy Sayoim and on. Because in the morning, people are in the morning. Usually, people are not all gathering together. What makes you say then that a fast begins already from Alois Hashachar? The answer is Amar of Shisha Brei Rav Idi Masayle Rav Huna Dama Mitzafra Kinufya. Well, that supports what Rav Huna says that on a fast day, in fact, they gather together in the Mizmerish in the shul rather already in the morning. So yes, on a fast, so maybe on a regular day, not everybody is there in the morning, but on a fast day, yes, the gathering, the asifa skenim, has to take place already in the morning, and therefore any tiniest tibur begins in the morning. And then again, we said that some of the tiniest tibur do begin the evening before when the situation is getting more and more serious. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, and talk about what exactly is the schedule of events that takes place on a tiniest tibur.
Yeah. Yes, Shikayach.
Yeah.